Welcome to the Unfolding Podcast. I am Erica Vohl. I am a decision mentor and inner trust guide. And I work with women, mainly those in midlife, trust their inner guidance, understand their unique strengths, and stop saying yes to what drains them. Using human design, coaching, and Reiki, we clear the noise so their no feels powerful and their yes feels true. I want to ask you a question. How much does fear run your life? Think about that for a minute. That is a question that I ask on my intake form for clients. And I ask clients to rate themselves on a scale from 1 to 10. And sometimes I'm actually really surprised by their rating based on the other ratings they give themselves on questions related to self-trust. Because they may say that fear doesn't run their life, but as we start to dig into the other questions about self-trust, fear very much plays a role into their why for a particular reading. The stories that they share bring out the fears that are actually underneath the surface, but they may not have a clear name. Fear is something we all have, but it shows up in different ways for different people. And what if I told you that there are actually innate fears that you have, but not everyone has the same fears? And you're thinking, Erica, these fears are innate? No, I learned these from my parents, or they're fears my parents always had, or they have been something I've been working on my entire life to overcome, and I'm doing it. Or I do it better if I just avoid them. We have fear that might show up related to trauma we've experienced, or there is fear that we have felt our entire lives. It actually might have shown up in various ways as a kid for you. Feeling like the bad kid when you received feedback from a parent or another adult in your life, or maybe it's played out in trying to be the good student or the good employee or the perfect partner or the good mom. But really, how is that working out for you? Avoiding your fears. Do you take crazy risks to prove to yourself that you can face your fears and do it anyway? Do you take these crazy risks to prove to others that you have no fear? Or do you swallow down the fear and think that this is just a part of you you just need to overcome, and then you'll be a wonderful, stable human being? But what happens when one thing or a series of things bring up these fears? I'm not talking about feeling frozen and not being able to do anything, though those fears can show up in that way at times. I'm talking about that inner voice. Some call it the inner critic. Some call it the loud inner roommate. It's that voice in your head that says, you can't do this. Or what are you thinking? What makes you think people will listen to you? And sometimes that voice stops you cold. You've overcome so much. You've worked on this inner voice to calm her down. And yet she shows up when you least expect it. When you're invited to share something with people you don't know, or you get invited to speak in front of an audience, or present at a meeting, or you move into a new job and something sparks that inner voice. Just pause for a moment and think about what comes up for you when I mention those situations. Does it stop your breath, or do you feel it deep in your gut, or does your mind start swirling with all the what ifs? And the worst case scenarios. We have all had those dreams. Showing up for a final exam and never having attended a single class. Or showing up to a presentation and you have no idea what you're supposed to talk about. Or you show up to a new job and you suddenly realize that they hired the wrong person because you don't have any idea what they're asking of you. It may be that you're asked to perform surgery, and like Ken in the Barbie movie, you've never once stepped foot in medical school. I mean, we've all had those dreams. And we wake up in the morning and we're like, oh my gosh. But every goal you set, there is a fear that comes up. I'm not talking about the losing the 20 pounds as the New Year's resolution. That drags up many, many fears for people. And it is also brings up that unbelievably loud inner voice. I'm talking about that goal to get a new job or to start a new business or just do something that feels absolutely impossible for you at the moment, but it is a dream of yours. Maybe it's that dream that others think you are crazy for wanting to try, but it would fill you with so much joy. Maybe it's that goal that you don't share with others because you know that they will have plenty to say and will tell you all about their friends who failed. But you would feel like you have done what your life was made for if you achieved this goal. And when you think about achieving that goal and the work towards it, what comes up? Is it that you get so in the weeds with trying to figure out how to get there that you actually overlook the one next step that could take you towards that dream goal? I call this goal the clear yes goal. It's that goal that whenever an opportunity presents itself to you that brings you even one step closer towards that goal, it is a clear yes for you. For so many women in midlife, we've been taught to just face our fears and do it anyway. And while I find that that can be wonderful at times, it can also feel so disempowering. It can feel like the advice is to ignore the signs that your body is giving you that feel dangerous and then to do it anyway. And there's a point in that. That without facing some of these fears, there is no growth. If you don't get past some of that fear or get to the root of it, then you're never going to grow. But so many of the traumas women face, even the micro traumas every day at work, they dig deep into this innate sense that something is not good and that something is wrong with them. Because if you could just face your fears and then you wouldn't be seen as weak or less than, I mean, a man could walk through the fear with no problem. Think about Ken when he was in the real world, in the Barbie movie. He had no fear. In a recent interview with Brené Brown on the Diary of a CEO podcast with Stephen Bartlett, she said a quote that just really deeply resonated with me regarding fear. She said, "Because it's not fear that gets in the way of us being brave with our lives and our work. It's the armor that we reach for to self-protect when we are afraid, and how that armor moves us away from love, connection, and our values. And the hardest work is being aware of what is my armor when I'm afraid." End quote. For me, I would much rather not put on that armor. I would much rather not build those walls because connection, like, true connection is far more important than the protection my fears think that I need. So when it comes to some things, I don't feel like saying feel the fear and do it anyway is a great way about doing it. I mean, goodness, there is a book by Susan Jeffers all about it that I read a long time ago, but it wasn't until I studied human design that I really started to understand that there is a place where this criticism, this self-criticism lives, and it has lived my entire life. And why I wanted to sink down into the floor as a kid and an adult when I got criticized. I have been diving deep into the fears in preparation for an upcoming workshop I'm doing in the next week. It's called What's Actually Stopping You, the name of this episode. And something happened as I was preparing for the workshop. The irony is not lost on me, I will just tell you that. So as part of my preparation, I listened and I re-listened to some fears workshops that my mentor, Julie Ciardi, presented in our human design business coaching group that I'm part of. And some of those fears resonated so deeply in me in ways that they had not before. Things that were always in the back of my mind that plagued me, but I've never dug into. And in fact, I didn't even realize that they were fears. I thought that they were just something that was like always in the back of my mind, like this conditioning I've had through my entire existence. Maybe they were all about needing to prove my worth. I knew that there were 20 fears in human design, but it wasn't until I really re-listened to these workshops in preparation for my own workshop that I started to see it and to feel it. And those inner voices, they really, really riled up. When I sat down to prepare for the presentation, I felt myself freeze. Nothing was coming. Nothing was working. So what did I do? I tried what I usually do, and I started changing the colors in my presentation. I looked for new images that like fit what I was trying to say. I found quotes that I wanted to use, and then the voices actually got louder. my inner mean girl and that good student came up, and boy, did they come in fast and furious. What if I got it wrong? What if nobody showed up? What if I didn't have the answer when someone asked a question? What if I failed? What if my presentation's not perfect? What if, what if, what if? Just kept coming up over and over to the point that I could not move beyond the colors and the images. I mean, it was getting a little bit ridiculous. So I did what I am so great at when the inner voices start to take over my mind. I distracted myself. Because sitting in that discomfort or actually thinking about where this was coming from was too hard. And honestly, I really knew that like if I tried to push through it, it wouldn't have gotten me anywhere except a mediocre presentation that I would have spent more time fixing because I hated it than to walk away. So what did I do to distract myself? I baked some bread. I tried a new recipe that did not work, but you know, it's okay. I went for a walk, and then I took a midday shower, and then I took the dog for a walk. Anything to distract me from having to listen to those voices, they were going to get me nowhere. And then I started to listen to other things completely unrelated to the workshop, completely unrelated to human design, hoping that that would help kickstart me. But it wasn't until I actually acknowledged what was happening that it became so clear. Like, what was at the root of these loud voices? What's coming up for me is exactly what I'm presenting on. And I'm living it in real time. How crazy. I mean, the irony that presenting a workshop on fears is bringing up all of my own fears. So I sat with it and wow, it has brought up so much. And as I've been preparing, it also had me thinking back on the times that those fears have come up throughout my life. The ones that are so deep that I pushed down because they felt unacceptable. The ones that I pushed through and faced them feeling like the superest of superheroes on the other side. My fear of public speaking that I felt like I had overcome after being in a story time class in graduate school and receiving feedback from my instructor. I'd always thought that my voice was harsh and I didn't trust my voice, but my instructor told me that I have a clear and crisp voice and to embrace it. And after I started to embrace it, I felt myself starting to trust that I had something to say and that people would listen to me and that they could get past what I thought was my harsh voice. Sometimes as kids, we were chastised for our fears. Our family would tell us to get over it because that fear that was showing up was unacceptable in our family. But as an adult, that fear will rear its head to the point that you can't sleep the night before a presentation or even before you have to speak in a meeting, or you feel like you can't take a step forward towards something, a goal that you have. Maybe you've canceled plans or called in sick just to avoid facing that fear. When acknowledging it and seeing that there's a gift in it could have allowed you to step up to that podium or to raise your hand. Or maybe that fear that what you had to say didn't have meaning is what stopped you from sending that amazing proposal or applying to something that's been a dream, because there have been times in the past that you wondered if you had anything important to say and thought, well, who's even going to listen? No one cares what I have to say. I experienced this many times at my former job. There were times that I was speaking and I was wondering if anyone was even listening. Was I just speaking into the void? Did I have anything meaningful to say? But when I spoke from my experience, which is actually how I am meant to communicate, which is a whole other workshop on voice and communication, I would receive emails and text messages and handwritten notes from people saying, thank you for sharing that. That was so powerful, or what you said really resonated with me in my experience. Or you were able to put into words what I've not been able to express. They meant so much to me, and it also told me that I was not speaking into a void. We tend to have admiration for those of us who we see going after those big dreams, and we think we could never do that. I couldn't do what they do, is what we tell ourselves. And I am sure that there are things that you have done in your life that others think the same thing about you. You think, Well, I could never quit my job. I could never move halfway across the country to pursue an acting career. I could never. And the list actually goes on. But I want to challenge you. What if you could? What if there was one thing you could do? Maybe you don't need to quit your day job, and maybe you could just take a class. Or you could go talk to someone who is doing what you want to do. What if knowing about your fears and how they show up for you can help you explain that inner critical voice? And not to shut it out, but to acknowledge it, listen, and then learn that there is power and a gift underneath that fear. Some of the fears that show up in my human design chart resonated so deeply with me when I've listened to the lessons that I had tears when I heard them. In human design, there are 20 fears. I have 8 of them. Funnily enough, overthinking plays into one of my fears, the fear of not knowing. What if I am wrong? What if I don't have the right answers? It's the fear of being misunderstood. Like, what if I can't figure it out? This actually comes up a lot for me, especially in my business. Like, what if my message is not resonating? What if people are misunderstanding me? Why can't I figure out how to get from point A to point D when really I just need to be thinking about point B or even point C? Not even point B. Let's just like one step after point A. The fear of being open and truly sharing what I want to share with others, this comes up a lot too when I'm meeting new friends or even with current friends, because what if I overshare and what if they think I'm weird for what I'm sharing? The 3 absolute biggest fears for me all have themes related to rejection, failure, and not meeting their expectations. Amazingly enough, they very much play into my need to feel like the good student, the good employee, the good girl, having the right answer. I know some of it stems from my parents and how I was raised. My parents were like, don't rock the boat too much. You don't want to get yourself fired. Or my grandma would say, well, don't be too much this way or that way because you want them to like you. I have a deep curiosity to know things. And that fear of rejection is what if somebody finds out that I don't know what I'm talking about or that I don't know something. I think that that need to know played into my becoming a librarian. And also it coordinates so well with my human design profile of a 5-1 where the line 1 loves to research. In preparing for this workshop and to quell some of those loud inner voices, I had to remind myself that there is no human design police coming to tell me that what I'm sharing is wrong. Some people might not like how I share it, but they're not people I would want to work with anyway. And another one that plays out so often in my life right now is the fear of not meeting expectations, the fear of being criticized. This one hits me so deep, it hits me in my core. In fact, I think it's almost a core wound at this point. For much of my 20 years in libraries and even before that, I was always afraid I would get fired because I was not meeting expectations. When I would sit in a performance review and I would get feedback that was less than stellar, even if I got great reviews, but there was always one that would just dig at me. And it was that deep-seated fear that it would rise so fiercely. And many times I never knew the expectations. So when I didn't meet them, I took it as a personal flaw. It actually shows up differently now that I'm working with clients and that I'm self-employed, because when I get feedback from clients, I realize that their expectations were either met or exceeded because they came in with a different mindset than looking to be disappointed. They were excited to work with me. The work we do together can't be measured in data and numbers. Yes, they are going to do some assessments, but when we sit down in that last session after 4 or 5 or 6 months, I ask them to measure themselves not by a number, but from a perspective of what has changed in their lives. And I am always astounded, and I'm so in awe of them. I'm so in awe of the work that they do on themselves and learning about themselves. And to see their progression through our work together, it really brings tears to my eyes. It's really a hard session for me because I have to feel like I have to hold it together when I'm just like, I'm so proud of you. They do the really hard work, and I am a guide to hold their hand through that journey. I am not there to be the guru. I'm really there to be the person who's just like, I can show you a new path. So if this episode resonated with you, take a moment this week to notice what inner voices are showing up. And when you get close to those dreams, when you think about them, like name those fears that are coming up. And I want you to invite some curiosity into it because there's really a lot of power underneath just naming them. You might not have a clear like explanation for what they are, but just noticing them can be really powerful. And if you are interested in learning more about your innate fears, I want to invite you to book a life and energy audit call with me, where we can see what fears are coming up for you and what's stopping you. This session is a pause button for you. We'll walk through a guided check-in to see where your energy is going, what's working, and what's quietly draining you. This is a grounded conversation to help you reconnect to what matters. There is no pressure and there is no preparation. I do send you the questions ahead of time just to get you thinking. I've also added a link to the What's Stopping You workshop in the show notes. It's on November 18th or 20th. Pick a time that works best for you. So I would love to see you at the workshop if the time works for you. If this episode resonated with you, I would be so grateful if you would click the plus sign and follow the show. That helps more people find Unfolding. Leave a quick review and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Be well, and I'll talk to you next time.